Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM. This is TCNT Movie Talk. We talk about movies in theaters this week, DVD and Blu-ray releases this week, digital streaming out this week, movies out this week 10 years ago, movies out this week 20 years ago, and always a little bit of Star Wars. We have Drew Lee.
Hi.
John Justice.
Hello.
Representative Nick Zerwas.
What's happening?
And comedian Brian Miller.
That's me.
So we'll get started with movies in theaters this week. There's a lot of them, actually. We have Tomb Raider. Tomb Raider, Love, Simon. I Can Only Imagine. 7 Days in Entebbe. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. And Flower.
I want to see Tomb Raider. I hear it's good. I hear it's a lot of Alicia Vikander. Is that how you say her name?
Vikander?
Vikander. A lot of her grunting and jumping.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'm good with that.
It's sure. Like the video game, then.
Got nothing wrong with that.
I want to mention Flower just briefly, because I'll be the only one that brings it up. That movie stars Zoe Deutsch, who is the female Sam Worthington Jai Courtney.
What does that mean?
Meaning, I like her, right? I think she's a good actress, but they're desperately trying to make her a star, and she has not become one yet.
She looks like, oh my goodness, the star of the sequel to 28 Days Later.
Oh, yes, the Rose Byrne.
Yeah, she's kind of got that Rose. You see Zoe Deutsch, you're like, is that yeah. Rose Byrne? What's
yeah, she
going
was
on
in
there?
Vampire Academy and Before I Fall. Yeah. What's up, both of those? Okay. But I'm looking forward to Tomb Raider. That's what I'm going to see this weekend.
I probably won't go see anything this weekend. I'd probably skip all these in the theater, but I could see myself watching Tomb Raider at some point. It's got kind of mixed reviews from critics so far. I'm not necessarily a fan of the video game franchise. I think I've played one version of it at one point or another, and it was fun. So it doesn't excite me, but, you know, if I hear good things about it, it's something I could see myself going to see.
Yeah, the thing about Tomb Raider is, right, so basically they're like, well, what if we had an Indiana Jones video game? So they try to import all these motifs from Indiana Jones, and they're like, what if Tomb Raider was a movie? And you're like, yeah, no, it was. It was Indiana Jones, and that's how we got Tomb Raider. So I don't know that I need to see it repurposed. I wanted to see Thoroughbreds last week, and I didn't get out, so I want to see that. Yeah. The final Anton Yelchin movie? I kind of can't believe
it. What?
Thoroughbreds?
Yeah. It's a horse movie.
But it's actually it's a dark comedy about two teenage girls who decide they're going to like try to kill somebody and see if they can get away with it or something.
So not about the horse?
No. not about horses at all.
No.
But you were once a teenage girl. I'm sure you've wanted to murder someone at some point.
I can relate.
So yeah,
it's like a daily. Not necessarily murder. Maybe just set them on fire.
You've got a bunch of brothers. You've wanted to murder someone at some
for
point.
Sure. Trust me. I have 3 younger brothers. Yes, there have been times.
So I think that's my plan. Thoroughbreds.
Nick Thurwas.
Yeah, I'm kind of with Drew on this one. Saturday, of course, being Leprechaun Day. It's kind of my day, so it's where I get to be.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Little in green.
That's your tiny.
So, I probably won't go to the theater. I'll probably be at McCoy's Pub in Elk River. It's very Irish. It's the one day it's really relevant. And
yeah.
So,
one day it's really relevant. That's a good plug.
Nice plug for McCoy's, yeah. Hi, Faith Magora. Did you hear what Nick Zerwas said on the radio there?
Do you wear a top hat?
Tiny little man, scratches.
Do you wear
We've got
like
to go take him out. I think he's a Catholic.
Do you wear a little leprechaun? They wear like the top hats, right? Like a little leprechaun top hat that makes you as tall as everyone else.
And a green tie. It's going to be fun.
Cute.
I'm very excited.
Very cute.
So we have that on Saturday. I'll probably end up watching Tomb Raider when I can watch it from the comfort of my couch.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sam, how about you? Any of those movies this week?
I'm actually kind of curious about Tomb Raider. It could be something that I think I might see in theater. Out of all of them that are out this week, it kind of looks like the only one that might maybe be neat to see on a big screen. The other ones, I feel like you could probably watch at home. I don't know if you guys might disagree that know more about these movies, but none of these really seem like movies that, like, I don't know, like, are necessary to go pay and see in a movie theater.
Did Strangers Pray at Night come out last week?
Yes.
Okay.
According to Rotten Tomatoes, yes.
Yeah, okay, yeah, because that's the other one I kind of want to see.
Yeah, me too.
It's kind of a dull time because they're like all the superhero movies are about to come out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, St. Patrick's Day is probably a bum weekend at the theater, I'm guessing.
Want to run through the list real quick because there are some noteworthy things here, just briefly. Love, Simon's getting a lot of attention. It's a story about a young kid in high school who's coming to grips with his sexuality, comes out as gay. So this is getting quite a bit of buzz within Hollywood. I haven't heard about the quality of the
who's
movie.
In it?
It is Nick Robinson. Catherine Langford.
The older
Miles
brother
Heiser.
From Jurassic World.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's one of those John Green adaptations, I think.
Oh, out, pass. That guy sucks. God, that guy sucks so bad.
It sounds like one of these movies.
Who sucks?
John Green.
John, okay.
He wrote that. What was the big thing
The Fault of Our Stars.
The Fault in Our Stars, where they make out in the Anne Frank house.
I like that movie.
Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, that movie, you can rip on that movie, and I didn't care for it either, but it was, I mean, super popular.
Yeah, he's like, really popular. Culture. He sells a bajillion books.
I don't know that this is one of his. I thought I remembered hearing that, but I don't know for certain. Mm. But either way, it's that demo, and it's that vibe, and it's that target audience.
And it's not for me.
I am clearly too old for
it. Yeah.
It's just like a coming-of-age movie.
Yeah.
Really.
I just feel the whole premise is just, especially in the last few years, has been done by Hollywood for Hollywood so many times. I just don't see how there's going to be anything remotely original in the telling of the coming-of-age story of a young...
Well,
it's
also a coming out story, and that is something that hasn't been done for this demographic.
Well, and all coming of age stories are kind of the same in a way. I mean, we've been repeating the straight ones forever, so we might as well repeat the gay ones for a little bit.
Sam, I one comment on another movie I want to mention. Can you bring up the I need the actress and the synopsis for The 7 Days in Entebbe?
Yeah, so the actress, you've got Rosamund Pike.
Right.
Oh, yeah, she's
Daniel
great.
Brühl.
And what's the storyline on that?
Israeli soldiers embark on a mission to rescue more than 240 hostages from an airport. Is it Entebbe?
Oh, yeah.
I want to see this. Yeah. Yep, I want to see
in
this.
In the summer of 1976. Is that a movie that would be good to see?
Did they change the name?
It just says Entebbe.
I remember seeing the trailer. Maybe they didn't. It didn't stick out, but the trailer for this looks amazing.
So
it's a true story.
I don't know. Am I butchering the pronunciation on that? Is it
Entebbe? Entebbe.
That wasn't the part that hung me up, but I was like, oh, Sam, you mispronounced.
Entebbe.
But I remember, I wasn't born for this, but I remember reading about this just a smidge before my time.
So the poster says 7 Days in Entebbe, but then like when you search for it, it just says Entebbe. I don't know.
What the point I wanted to make was that the other movie we haven't talked about, Flower, it's just more of an indie movie. I Can Only Imagine is one of these faith-based films, and it's got Dennis Quaid in it. Mm. The point I bring it up is, one, those faith-based movies, man.
I have faith that you can get through this, John.
They found an audience.
Oh,
they're making a lot of money. But you want to talk about, just real quick, diversity. Look at the slate of movies. You got Tomb Raider, you know. Mm-hmm. So you got a female action star, Love, Simon, which is a coming out movie of a high schooler who's coming out as being gay. You have a faith based movie. Then you have the Rosamund Pike movie based off a historical event. None of these movies. I mean, Tomb Raider is kind of a big blockbuster, but I just find it interesting. That's a very diverse slate of
you're right. I didn't
films.
Yeah, I didn't really. Think about that. There's kind of a movie for everyone.
And meanwhile, everyone's still just watching Black Panther.
Well, and that's the big question mark is whether or not Black Panther is going to end up beating Tomb Raider again for now being number one for a sixth week in a row.
I'm going to go ahead and say yeah.
I'm really?
You don't think that Tomb Raider will...
No, I don't.
Yeah, I think it'll be close.
I'd be interested in Tomb Raider. And honestly,
I don't think Tomb Raider is going to do poorly. I think Tomb Raider is going to do fine, but I do think Black Panther will beat it.
Well, if Tomb Raider does decent, it'll beat Black Panther. Black Panther, for all intents and purposes, shouldn't have won again last week, but A Wrinkle in Time bombed so bad that, and Black Panther beat it by like 40 million. It only got 30 for A Wrinkle in Time, so.
Yeah.
Can you really claim that if you're the makers of A Wrinkle in Time, can you really claim racism was the reason that your movie did poorly when it was beaten by Black Panther?
Why is anybody talking about that?
Wait, is that happening?
Avril DuVernay, she came out and she was being interviewed by an individual, and I want to get the quote right because I don't have it in front of me. But basically, she said that, like, you were the only Caucasian to interview me who actually went and saw the film or something to this effect. It was a really you have to find the quote. I'm probably getting that wrong, right. but she was this backhanded comment to some reporter who basically claimed that a lot of people just didn't bother to go and see it because a lot of white people didn't go see it because of racism. And yeah, it was really, really a weird thing to say.
It just didn't look good. Here's an interesting kind of side topic on that, but I liked Selma. I thought Selma was very good. And so then they put her in charge of Wrinkle in Time, which I don't think anybody was probably going to do a great job with that. I think it's just going to be hard. But so now she's going to do a DC movie called The New Gods,
right,
which is a big spectacle. And I was like, oh, it's going to be great. And I was like, well, she has not yet proved her ability
right.
to do big budget spectacle. Like, maybe that's not her thing. Some directors work better in different genres and stuff. Like, this weird assumption that, like, oh, that's going to be the best. That's not the track record.
Right. I mean, if you want to talk about, and I don't think we want to go down this road, but you want to talk about sort of the bias. If you had a male white director who does A Wrinkle in Time and it does as bad as it did, and then you immediately announce that male white director is going to go and do New Gods, the fan is going to go, what are you giving that person that movie? That was awful and bad.
Sure, like the McGee phenomenon after people didn't like a couple of his movies. And he was going to do Superman and people were like, what?
Yeah, no. So, it's unfortunate that we're kind of in that spot. I wish we weren't. And Drew said it, I think it was last week on Movie Talker during the show, said it really, really well. It's just like, you know, Black Panther was just good.
Yeah, it's a really good movie. Every movie Ryan Coogler's made is really good, and that was maybe the best one.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were talking about identifying with characters.
I didn't walk out of Black Panther feeling like I can't enjoy this movie because there's nobody in that film that I can identify with.
Right.
Nobody looked like me.
Yeah.
You know, so that didn't happen. And I don't feel like that happens for the majority of people. You know, I feel like that angle sort of gets exaggerated by people with agendas.
Well, yeah.
And you can be taught that you're supposed to feel that way. You can be told that you're supposed to feel that way and then sort of retroactively go, yeah, you know what? You're right. You know, but I don't think anybody walks out of a really good movie worrying about whether or not they identified with anybody.
I think that's true to an extent. I think it's harder to make that point now.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you go back to TV and film from 30 or 40 years ago, and an African-American person could watch a year of TV
sure.
on network television
sure.
and go to a year of openings on Friday night in the movie theater and not see a single leading character that looks like them, that they can identify with. I think that there's some validity in that. I think in today's time, I think there's individuals that have been taught or are trying to push a narrative that are looking for that. But I would feel uncomfortable saying that was never the case.
Oh, I think I understand that.
That's
like
fair.
I understand like the positive angle of it. Like,
sure.
Yeah, you do want to see, you do identify more people who look like you or people that in your situation and everything. So I understand why people are like, black guys would be like, oh, I'm excited about Black Panther. I just don't see it in the negative where I don't see like non-black people aren't going to not like Black Panther.
And,
you know, like black guys like Batman.
Right. And look, and look,
Batman's a white guy.
I mentioned on the show, I identify with personalities and situations regardless of color or gender. Black Panther, you can kind of identify with that villain. That's what made him so great.
Absolutely.
Put yourself in his shoes. You know, I don't look anything like Michael B. Jordan.
I wish I looked like Michael B. Jordan.
Please, by all means.
So does your wife.
Give me 10, 20% of Michael B. Jordan. Please. But you can identify with, wow, that dude's hurting, and I can see why he's hurting.
Sounds like he made your pupils dilate.
And I think Hollywood has...
I say that he did with a staunch record of heterosexuality.
I think Hollywood has, in the past, had made that dumb assumption that, like, well, you know, are white people going to go see this movie or that movie? And it's like, yeah, white people will go see a good movie. Yeah, I'm pretty sure Javier Bardem being in it, it's not going to be a problem if it's a good movie.
I'm not going to see a superhero movie till one comes out where the superhero has half a heart.
That was Boss Baby.
Oh, yeah. That
Iron Man, kind of.
I did like
a little bionic action there.
I did like Tony Stark.
You're gonna make Nick feel a little too highly of himself if you tell him that he's like Iron Man. Come on, Boss
that's
baby.
Right.
Boss.
I am.
DVD and Blu-ray releases this week: Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle, and Pitch Perfect 3.
Okay, this is so weird. Okay, I will probably end up buying Jumanji. Okay, we enjoyed it. But it goes back to what we talked about before. That movie made bank, right? Tons of dough, ridiculous amounts of money, but I am not, like, clamoring to watch it again. I liked it when I watched it.
It looked really generic to me, honestly.
So I still have not seen Jumanji, so I'm not, like, saying it's good. Someone who's seen it yet. I believe you. I believe that it's fine. I think you guys all said it was kind of like a one-time watch. It was fun to watch, but you're not maybe going to return to it. But, like, Jumanji is one of those movies where they put a lot of money into advertising. Because I can tell you, like, I don't know if it's because I'm in, like, kind of the younger demographic or whatever, because I know that myself, my younger siblings, we were getting hit, like, on our phones and stuff with so many Jumanji ads. I went to Jingle Ball this past year. In between every, like, set where before each musician came out, they were playing Jumanji trailers every single
and they were
break.
Good, and they were good. And they were. It was a good advertising. The trailers were
they
really
did,
good.
They did great. Yeah, they did an awesome job advertising.
The trailers sold me on the movie. What?
It made me feel like the movie was a super big deal, even though I didn't know anything about it, because I didn't know anything about Jumanji.
Dwayne Johnson is one of the few leading actors right now that just drives the box office.
Oh, yeah. True. Yeah. The machine.
You put him in a movie like that, and it made bank. You put him in a role like that, that movie's just gonna make.
Oh, I'll be seeing Sky Hard on opening day.
that's what that movie.
That movie is.
I think you're thinking of a different movie.
No, it's a movie. He's in a big building, and it's I don't know what it's called. But it's Sky Hard.
It's Sky Hard.
Or Try Hard.
I know.
Also,
why they didn't name it Sky Hard is beyond me, because that was stupid not to.
You know, you are straight badass when they feel compelled to chop off your foot, so you somewhat look like you might be a little bit vulnerable.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the other one, Rampage, the video.
Oh, yeah, God, we can't wait for Rampage.
Probably see that as well.
Rampage is going to be so
I'm
awesome.
Cultivating a theory about Dwayne Johnson, who I love as an actor, but with a couple of very notable exceptions, all he does is come in and make awful movies tolerable.
Yeah.
Most movies he's in are very bad, but he is fantastic.
Yeah.
Why don't we try putting him in at least an okay movie and see if we can get a good movie out of it?
That's a really good point, because I do think if you removed Dwayne Johnson from Jumanji, if you removed Dwayne Johnson from Fast and Furious, if you removed Dwayne Johnson from a lot of the movies that he's in, they would be bombs. Nobody would be talking about him.
I disagree on Fast and Furious.
Fast and Furious is a bad example, I think.
Yeah.
But disagree on Jumanji, because the rest of the cast is pretty good. San Andreas is your good example.
Yeah, San Andreas, or the movie where he's a truck driver who has to rescue his daughter or whatever. There's so many of those things that, like, and again, they're okay movies because he's so good. But all he's really doing is tricking us into eating, like, bad food.
If you want to see Dwayne Johnson in something good, HBO show Ballers.
Oh, yes. Or Pain and Gain is an interesting movie.
Yeah. I want to watch Ballers so bad. It looks really
good. It's very good. And he's very good in it.
Oh, and Baywatch.
He actually gets to display his acting chops in Ballers.
He's not just like,
hey, I'm
like
a muscle
guy. Yeah.
No, I want.
I am one giant muscle.
I want them to remake Over the Top.
Yes.
With Dwayne Johnson. Right? Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yes, it would.
Do it, Hollywood. Do it.
So we've all talked about Jumanji. I'm sitting here talking to four guys who are older than me, so I don't know if this is your demographic type movie. But what about Pitch Perfect?
Heck yes, I'm going to watch it. I can't wait.
Have you seen Pitch Perfect 3? Yeah, have you seen Pitch Perfect 3?
I've seen 1 and 2. They're amazing. I've memorized the soundtracks.
Yeah, I've only seen 1, and I've memorized the soundtracks.
That's not true, is it?
But I haven't seen
2. Is that true? And you're giving me a hard time.
You know what? Okay, John, have you seen Pitch Perfect?
I've seen the first one.
I've seen the first
half. The second one.
You tell me that you didn't.
I did not
the
see
soundtrack.
The third one. No. It's Aka lame.
I'm not a fan of the acapella.
I hate the acapella.
You can Aka get out. Because if you go, I remember just recently, like at our state championships for the cheerleading teams that I coach, we were like in the, it's like this area where all the teams just like sit around waiting for their turn basically. And so different teams had like stereos playing, whatever. And
was there an Aka off?
They're pretty much because like they started, one team started playing the Pitch Perfect soundtrack and they were all so into it.
Yeah. You want to Aka Destroy a movie, make it acapella.
I felt like there was a...
No, it was... But they... I feel like they did it. I only saw one, so I haven't seen two or three, but I feel like they did it really well.
They did do it really well, but it was very... It was very contrived. If I felt like there was some, if there was some genuineness, if there was some authenticity to their performance, but it was also really just.
Yeah, we're going to agree on that, dude.
It was just contrived and choreographed, and I'm supposed to like suspend my disbelief that they can all just sort of on a riff jump into this perfect a cappella thing where they know what bass line to play and they know what beat to play and they know what backup parts to sing. No, that doesn't happen in real life. And
well,
I get it.
Do you know that? Have you been in an
No, but I've been a human being.
But it's just, it's not unlike Best in Show, though. I mean, it's a spoof of the...
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, see, I didn't take it like that. I didn't take it as a spoof.
To me, it's just it's all those women just faking it, and I don't like it.
Get that drop. I get enough of that in real life.
You're faking instruments. You're faking beats. And it just,
I just want to make that a liner now.
It just hits too close to home for John.
I can't.
Yeah.
Melinda, and it sucks at home because Melinda and Kyle love that, and they have playlists with just song after song of a cappella. I'm like, why are you listening to an a cappella version when there's a perfectly good produced version over here?
Can you imagine what people would treat you like a crazy old man if you walked around listening to Barbershop Quartet music?
Right.
Goodbye, my Coney Island gal. They'd be like, oh, John's gone off the deep end. He's done now.
He's the Barbershop Quartet.
But for some reason, if Rebel Wilson does it, it's cool. I don't think so.
Yeah.
I want to watch 2 and 3, so I can't speak like super knowledgeably on it, but I loved the first one.
It was fine. It was good. And it was fun.
It was just fun.
Yeah. It was fun and silly. It wasn't great, but it was fun and silly.
Yeah.
They should have called it Sing It On.
Ooh, there you go.
I think we can do the last the 10 and 20 here pretty quick because there's just one movie in both of those groups that is worthy of any kind of discussion. So if you want to, because we're running out of time.
Yeah. So movies out this week 10 years ago: Drill Bit, Taylor, Chapter 27, and Tyler Perry's Meet the Browns.
Drill Bit Taylor would have done better if they'd have dropped the Taylor out of the title.
Just Drill Bit.
It's called a Drill Bit.
Yeah,
that's a badass title.
Yeah.
Chapter 20, Taylor. On
great premise for Drill Bit Taylor.
Owen Wilson.
Not a great movie.
Chapter 27 was only significant, not the one we wanted to mention, because Jared Leto put on a bunch of weight. He went Mr. Method actor on that one. He played
Mark David
Chapman. Yep.
I never saw the movie, heard about that movie, just looked it up, and wow.
Jared Leto.
He put in a lot of weight for that role.
That's the commitment I can get behind.
That is a lot of commitment. Did you have a specific one that you wanted to touch on?
20. Go 20 years.
So,
watch what happens.
All right. 20 years ago. Movies out this week 20 years ago. Wild Things and Primary Colors.
Wild Things. Yes.
By the way,
Primary Colors.
Aside from the obvious.
I like Primary Colors.
Yeah, it's a decently good movie. But aside, like people, Wild Things is very salacious, but that's also a good movie.
Yes, it is.
It is very funny, self-aware, twisty. Oh. Bill Murray is great. After the twists keep coming after the credits.
As someone who has not seen Wild Things, tell me why I should see it.
Because it's a deep and emotional story about, you know, people.
No, it's,
and a pool.
They
and
love
when
each other.
When a girl loves another girl very much and they want to wash a teacher's car, I don't know how to explain this.
Would it be better off if I read the synopsis or should I let you guys continue to struggle through this? Well, we only have like 30 seconds left, so.
Well, I'm done anyway.
Nev Campbell.
Do you want me to give the synopsis, or does everybody else listening know Wild Things?
We all know.
I will look into it.
You look into it.
This was Denise Richards was like her like moment of being like the big new actress.
Yeah, it was a downhill after for Denise Richards afterwards.
But it's a legit good movie.
Yeah,
it is a legit good movie. Primary Color is a really solid movie as well.
Also, Full Frontal from Kevin Bacon for the ladies.
Primary Color is worth watching.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Okay. Wild Things too.
All right.
Wild Things.
Worth watching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This has been TCNC Movie
Talk.
Cool we somehow managed to get through a whole show without mentioning Star Wars once.
Sorry, Sam.
TCNC Movie Talk, right here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM. We talk about these movies every single week. Tune in again next week.